It is good to see you today. It's good to be back with you today, and I appreciate you and your good work. On behalf of Kevin Ezell and your North American Mission Board, let me say thank you for giving to the Lord and your North American missionaries who need the finances. They really do. Appreciate that. And also, you know, you have about 4,500 plus missionaries out on the field working for the glory of God. And so we appreciate you giving. $5,000 is a fantastic goal, and I appreciate that. And you know, you just keep on giving to the Lord, and you can't outgive God, right? Ah, yeah, that's good. Now, remember what I've always said. If you want to beat the Methodist to lunch, you got to say amen. Okay. And just so you know that, now, you know, and some people think I'm critical of Methodist. I'm not. I love Methodist people. Love Pentecostal people, you know, and I love all the denominations. Now, you know, I feel sorry for some of our Baptist brethren, but I love them too. Fantastic people, and we appreciate it. Let me say to you today, let me say that I love your pastor and his family. They're just fantastic people. I didn't know, Miss Amy, that you could play the piano. Known you guys all these years and didn't know she could play the piano. How you doing in college up there in the big city? You love it, huh? Wow. I don't hear that. Yeah, I hear that a bunch. Yeah, that's good. Pastor, I want you to know how much I appreciate it. Your pastor and Clay helped us move. We appreciate that. I don't know if he just wanted to get us out of Dodge, but he helped us move. They helped us pack up and go. Appreciate that. And when I had surgery about 5 weeks ago, colon surgery, we didn't know how that was going to turn out, but God blessed us. There was the pastor. I just appreciate him so much. And just appreciate everything that Pastor Ricky does. We are good friends. We have been friends over the years. I am surprised at him a lot. But he speaks his mind. He speaks what's on his heart. And I appreciate that about him. And, you know, sometimes he's honest to a fault. But he is honest. And I just love that in him. He's just fantastic. And I asked Brother Matt, I said, now, am I supposed to call you Doc yet? And he said, no, not yet. A couple more days, I understand, right? So that's great and fantastic. So allow me to say thank you. And allow me to say thank you for the Sunday school class. I'm sorry we missed it today. I was at the motel. It wasn't Mary's fault. She kept saying we need to go to Sunday school class. But I appreciate the Sunday school class and appreciate y'all so much. And I appreciate the card that I received, you know, when I was recuperating. And now I'm about 85 or 90%, so you won't see me jump too many pews today. But I'm about 85, 90% back. I'm back to work again at my second job. And also as a church planter there in Evansville, or I should say replanter. So just continue to pray for us. We're in the book of Luke today, chapter 5. That's where we're going to be at. But again, thank you, church. Thank you for your prayer. And thank you for supporting the North American Mission Board. That is your North American Mission Board. And so let me encourage you to support your missionaries, and not only them, but that's all we're taking up for right now. Somebody asked me one time, are we ever going to get Annie Armstrong and Lottie Moon paid off? No, we're not going to ever do that because we just like paying the payments to them, right? Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. All right, Luke chapter 5. We're going to talk today. And listen, if you come back tonight to the fifth Sunday worship, it's not going to be the same sermon. So you get the privilege of hearing both sermons if you come back tonight to the church. I think it's First Baptist Church tonight. And one of the things that we're going to talk about tonight is partnerships, partnerships through the eyes of Jesus. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight, but we hope that you'll be back tonight and be with us. All right, now we're going to talk about partnerships for fishing. How many of you like to fish? How many of you catch fish? I just feed the fish. That's all I do. I don't even use a hook. I just drop the worm in. I'm not going to catch anything anyway, so you know. Now, that's positive, isn't it? I like positivity, don't you? Yeah, being positive. Luke chapter 5. I'm going to share with you today a partnership for fishing, and I think Jesus really explains partnership to me. There's so much in the Bible that talks about partnerships, and I really love the partnerships that we find. We find in the book of Ecclesiastes, the Bible says two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. And I think it's fantastic to know that partners get the job done. Isn't it good to know that your Southern Baptist Convention is able to work together through the cooperative program to be able to do things that we couldn't do by ourselves? But do you realize a church of five people can be as big a part of the cooperative program as a church of 5,000? Did you know that? Because every dime you give for the glory of God is a dime that goes for His honor. And God knows how to stretch dimes. He always has. He always will. But let me encourage you as Southern Baptists today, do not lose sight. Do not lose sight of your cooperative mission for the glory of God. Let me just repeat that. Do not lose sight of your cooperative mission for the glory of God. Two are better than one. From the book of Luke, if you want to stand for the reading of God's word, I would appreciate that. And we'll read the word of God from the book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little farther from land. And he sat down and he taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now the old King James says, and I love the old King James, so don't misunderstand. I just happen to have the new King James today. But it says drop. Now listen very carefully. The catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great, now listen, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners. I love that part right there. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Notice that word again, partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, what happened? They forsook all and they followed him. Heavenly Father, now in the name of Jesus, I praise you today for who you are. Thank you, Father, for allowing us the opportunity, Father, the privilege and the honor to be here today. God, it is a privilege and an honor. Thank you, God, for your abilities that you show forth in us. And Father, I pray, Lord, that we'll use those abilities for your glory and your honor. But Father, I realize that it's not our abilities that you're after, it's our availability. Father, if we're available for your glory, you'll give us the ability to do what you call us to do. Now have your will in your way as we go forward. Glorify your name. Speak to that one, Father, that may not know Jesus today. Have your will in your way in our lives. Father, send revival to us. Let it begin in me, Father, today. Love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please. Jesus would come to his disciples, and as he taught the folks there, he wanted to get alone with these people. And he began to tell them a strategy for fishing. And he wanted to show them the miraculous way that he could use partners to glorify his name. And he has about four things I want to share with you this morning that I would like to say to you about partnerships. First of all, Jesus tells us to do what? He tells us to launch out into the deep. One of the things that really, I got to tell you something, it scared me to death to think about replanting North Park Baptist Church. North Park Baptist Church is a large facility. They were running about 25 or 30 when they decided they would close their doors. You know, closing doors of Southern Baptist churches is not new. In 2015, we closed 900 Southern Baptist churches. Let that soak in for a moment. And the only reason why I'm giving you 2015 4 years ago is because I don't have the current statistics. But I know and say this to you today, 900 Southern Baptist churches closed the same year they planted 700 plus churches. Is there something wrong with that picture? We're closing more churches than we're opening. Now, I'm all for planting churches. Don't misunderstand me. But we've got so many facilities out there that I believe that if we just come alongside facility churches and begin to help them, partner with them, let's use the word adopt them. if you want to. If we would just come along beside them and support them in such a way to glorify God. Now, I believe that Southern Baptists need to understand and know that Southern Baptists have done a lot of work over the years. What scared me about North Park Baptist Church was it is a very traditional church. Can I use this word for just a moment? I hope it's okay. Legalist. They were very much legalist. Now, I'm very traditional. And, you know, at 60 plus years old, 65 years, almost 66 years old, I'm a very traditional person. But I am not a legalist. I believe if it's broke, it ought to be fixed. If we're going to do anything, we ought to glorify God. People are getting older. How many people are here getting older? Pastor didn't raise his hand. Matt didn't raise his hand. I don't know if he's getting older or not. But let me say to you today, we all get older. And guess what's going to happen to us? We're going to die. About 5 weeks ago, we buried a 17-year-old boy who was killed in a car crash. This past Friday, we buried two people. One was 94, one was 62. It truly is appointed unto every man once to die. And after this, the judgment. So what am I trying to say to you today? Traditional people's fine. You know, Southern Baptist is a diverse group of people. But legalism will destroy a church every single time. If you don't believe that, so notice what Jesus had trouble with in the New Testament all the time. Who was his major one problem that he battled with? Who were the major people? Pharisees. Now, they wasn't legalistic, was they? You see, legalism will destroy. It's okay to be traditional. It's okay to hold on to traditions if they glorify God. That's what scared me about North Park, is because the 25 people there, the youngest of them was about 75. That scares me to death. And you know what else scares me good? Is the fact that we got to reach millennials. How many of them are you millennials here today? Now, come on, I know somebody's a millennial. But here's my point. The church needs to be embracing the younger group while embracing the older group, while embracing the middle-aged group, while embracing the things of God instead of the things of men. We have a field that we need to launch out into the deep for. We need to launch out 5-mile radius around our area, around North Park Baptist Church, the old North Park Baptist Church. We have a facility that will seat 260 people. We have a facility that has a gymnasium that was built in 1995. We have a church building that was built about 1972. The sanctuary was built in 1972. The other facility was built in 1960. And there's three different floors in the church for educational space. So the building is huge. It's large. It really is. It's a large building, a great educational facility, offices. There's so many things, and I'd love to see the church go to something besides just opening on Sunday. Church needs to be something else. So we have 111,000 people in a 5-mile radius. We have 40,260 people in about a 3-mile radius. We have 11,000 people in a radius around that area of the church, 1 mile. There's a lot of people in our area that need Jesus Christ. That we as a team, we have our leadership team now together. We as a team need to pray to reach out into the deep parts of the water. We need to reach people that are not like us. You see, people, just because they don't wear a tie or they don't dress like us or they don't act like us, Jesus reached people where they were at. We ought to reach people where they are. Peter said, we've been toiling. When Jesus asked him to launch out into the deep, what did Peter do? He gave excuses. That's what I do. I said, Lord, you want me to do what? You want me to replant a church where? That's almost ridiculous. Lord, you do know how old I am, right? And he puts me on flat on my back and he says, yeah, I'll show you how old you are. But he said, I'll show you how much of a healer I am. Just listen to me. I'll take care of things. See, I have a problem of listening to God. Does anybody else here do that? Okay. Well, the altar is going to be empty after a while. So we just want you to know that we all have that problem. Peter had that problem where he didn't want to listen to God. And he said, Lord, we've been toiling all night long, and yet we haven't caught anything. You can't catch anything if you don't listen to God. You see, you can't go and do anything except you listen to God. The former church closed. Had a good pastor, Dan Siegler, good man, preached the gospel, taught the gospel. But yet, what was wrong? The church had forgotten their vision. They had lost that vision. They had lost that passion. And you see, when churches lose a passion, they'll die. Somebody asked me, how often should we look at our vision? I believe you ought to look at your vision every year to make sure that you're reaching the community for the glory of God. Some things may not be working. You know what I do with things that's not working? I keep them propped up so they won't work for the next 4 months. No, what I try to do with everything that's not working is to find out why it's not working. And that's one of the things I've told our leadership team. We're going to make sure things are working and working and working and working for the glory of God. We want to reach people where they're at. We want to reach those people. You know, some of the main concerns about our area as we looked at our demographics was that they were worried about drugs. Is anybody worried about drugs in this area? Drugs are real everywhere. But just think about this. If we could take that building and use it for an addiction center to help people who are addicted to drugs, addicted to pornography, addicted to other things in life today. You see, the devil has so many people bound today through addiction. And we as Southern Baptists today need to be using our facilities to bring glory and honor unto God. Not just one day a week, but every day we possibly can. Now, we have a great big vision. God has sent us a couple people. One is a registered nurse with the deaconess community. The other one is a registered, psychologist, but she's a sociologist. And you know what they want to do? They want to reach addicted people. God sent them our way, and I couldn't believe it. And I keep saying, are you on board? And they keep saying, well, we're still praying about it. You know, a typical Southern Baptist. They'll pray for the next 16 days or so. Then I ask them, are you through praying? They'll say, no, we got to pray a little more. I tell them all the time, I said, you know, you ought to be. You know that, right? Folks, let me tell you, we need to push out into the deep waters. We need to step out by faith. That's what I see pushing out into the deep waters is all about. By faith, go where you need to go. Do what you need to do. Will we fall flat of our face? Yeah, we may. I told Mary one time, I said, Mary, What if I fall flat on my face? You know what theological advice she gave me? So? That's deep theology. You think about that for a moment. God's always there to catch us. We're going to get some bruises and some bumps, but we need to push out into the deep. We need to push out into the deep and launch out there. The former church had lost their vision. They had lost that first love. They had grown apart from their vision. They had grown apart from their mission. And they become more inward focused than outward focused. And when you become inward focused, you will die. Because your membership will die. I tell people all the time, I'm getting older, so I want younger people to take my place. We need to be reaching the younger people for the glory of God. Let me tell you a story about Christina, who lives out on the street, who's addicted to drugs. Let me tell you how we talked to her. My wife talked to her the other night and shared with her about the gospel plan. She's a homeless person. Let me tell you about Curtis, who was camping out on our back doorstep, even though we're closed for renovation. He was on the back doorstep, and he was sleeping there. And there's a beauty salon that right across the street, and they were scared to death of Curtis. And I went by and talked to Curtis, and I asked Curtis, I said, Curtis, let me talk. I reached out my hand. He said, you don't want to shake my hand. He said, you're allowed to catch something. Folks, we live in a world where people are afraid of church people. We live in a society where people are afraid And, you know, one of the things that I see today, we must launch out into the deep because there's hurting people out there. Where did Jesus go? He went to the woman at the well. The woman at the well, he preached, he shared the gospel with her. Let me tell you how many times he shared the gospel. Remember the old man, the old boy that was up in the tree? What was his name? Nicodemus. He shared the gospel with Nicodemus. He was not worried about the condition of their looks. He was worried about the condition of their soul. We need to push out into the deep waters. We need not to worry about becoming so weary from toiling. The church there had become so weary from just toiling, just spinning their wheels. It was going to die, and it did die. The pastor preached the gospel, as we said. We must trust and have a good support system instead of toiling. What can this church do as a partner with us? First of all, the association, as Pastor already pointed out, is giving to our church plant. And you're part of the association that's giving, so allow me to say thank you on behalf of our leadership team at... Now, you ready? Listen very carefully. I got a name here. Community Central Church. Now, what's missing from that title? The first time we met, here's what I did. I said, what do you want the church name to be? Oh, we want it to be Baptist. Then I had 15 over here that said, oh, we don't want it to be Baptist. We want to leave Baptist out. So, Heather, can you slide right back to the very first slide real quick? I compromised like they did at Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15. You know, Paul, he was telling Paul, what do you see about that that says Southern Baptist to you? Community Central Church, the cross in the Bible. How many Southern Baptists will know that that's Southern Baptist logo? So I said, here, this ought to make you happy. We did not put Baptist in the title, but we put Baptist on the sign. Compromise. And I'm a very traditional person, but I believe in compromise where it does not compromise the word. You know, I heard Jesus say, you ought to name every church Baptist. I heard that somewhere. Amen. So here's what I want you to understand. We are Southern Baptist. Our legals will say we're Southern Baptist. But our title on the church sign does not have to say Baptist anywhere in it. And here's the sad thing. Most people who are Southern Baptists have been Southern Baptists all their life. Don't understand, even know what the logo of Southern Baptist is. I put SBC at the bottom and somebody said, well, now they'll really know this one. Silly, boring church. That's what somebody told me. Nothing boring about Southern Baptist. Push out into the deep. We must have that support system. They didn't have... Are you back to where I'm at? Very good. Push out into the deep. Not legalism, but trust the Word of God. Not the works of men. Trust God. He's entrusted to us. He's made us stewards of what He wants us to be. And as I reached out and thought about this when Bobby Pell asked me to be the pastor of this church, of this replant, and to head this up, it scared me. Because I'd have to bring old and young together. And we've done a pretty good job of doing that, haven't we, Mary? We have a leadership group of about 15. And about 10 of those are below 60. And that's a lot younger than what you think. We got some that are in their 40s and some that are in their 50s. And some that are in their 20s. God has blessed us. What can you do? You can pray for us. You can pray that God will use us. That's the first thing. Since funding's already been provided through the association, and you give to the association, on the back of what I sent you, Pastor, as you recall, is a covenant prayer. Everybody see that in the back row? Is a covenant prayer sheet. A prayer sheet that covenants with us, that you're going to pray for us. And Mary's got some cards that she's be more than willing to give you to put on your refrigerator to pray for us on a regular basis, because we're still your missionaries. Even though they retired my computer and I had to follow it, we're still your missionaries. Understand me very well. We want you to know that we're still your missionaries and we still need your prayers. So please, if I never got another dime from anybody in the partnerships, we have about 35 partnership churches. and about 8 or 9 of those are somehow funding the plant, funding the work. But please pray for us. That's the most important thing you can do for us, is pray for us. So, Pastor, if they'll fill out their name on this and send it to, and just send it or keep it or whatever you want to do, I will send an update to you anyway every month or every quarter, just about how the plant's going. So pray for us, we'll push out into the deep, that we'll launch out into the deep. This is what really we need to do, is to pray one for another. Secondly, let down your nets. Notice verse 4 again. For the catch, let down your nets. We need to let down the nets. We need to let down the nets of compassion to draw people in. Those people that ride the Harleys and have tattoos from the top of their head, I mean literally from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, we need to reach them with Jesus. We need to reach people that are unlovely for Jesus. We need to reach people. We need to reach out to them. We need to cast the net where they are and ask Jesus to use us somehow to bring glory and honor unto His name. You see, what we did back in the 70s when I first got saved, what we did then will not work, but the net of love will always work. When we throw out the net of love, when we throw out the net of compassion, when we throw out the net that says, I'm not better than you. See, some people today don't want to hear Baptist in their name, in the name of a church, because they think of us as being arrogant, as they think of us as being rude. They think of us not accepting, as not tolerant. Let me say to you, Jesus was all of those. And He reached the people for His glory and for His honor. And we should want to do no less than that. So I want to cast out the nets. I want to cast out the nets. And you make that possible through your prayer and your funding support. You make that possible through the putting the boots on the ground. You may say, well, maybe we'll send up a mission team that do Vacation Bible School. See, we're starting to plan Vacation Bible School. We want to plan door-to-door canvassing. We don't want to push people, but we want people to know that we love them. We want to cast out the net of relationship, building relationship for the glory of God. I've got two holiness churches, or non-denominational, and I know the pastor of one of them, but we got two that are more of the, what can I say here? Help me out, guys. They are more of the full gospels. You know, and they believe a little differently than we do, but I want to embrace them. I want to have lunch with them. I want them to share with me, and I want to share with them how we can reach the community for the glory of God. They're large churches. And then we got a Catholic church. I met the priest there, and we want to reach out to the glory of God. I told him, he prayed one night at a hospital, and I told him, I said, you sound just like a Southern Baptist. You pray just like a Baptist. But here's the thing I want you to hear. To disagree with somebody is not to say you always can never work with them, people. We want to work with everybody we can for the glory of God. And some people call that ecumenical, right? I don't attend the meetings. But I want to call it putting our minds together for the betterment of God's grace in a world that needs to hear about God's grace. For the furtherance of God's grace, I should say. So we need to let down our net of cooperation, cooperating with each other. Listen to what happens in the verse again, that verse 4. Listen very carefully again as we hear what's going on. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and cast down your nets, or throw out your nets. I've never done any net fishing. But when you throw a net out there, what kind of fish do you normally catch? You catch all sunfish? You catch every kind of fish possible, don't you? That's in that area. Now, that means you may catch somebody that is not like you. They may not be. They may be a carp. How many of you eat carp? They're just not good fish, are they? I can tell you all kinds of people that eat carp. They know how to do the mud vein, you see. Don't you think God knows how to remove sin from the life of the lost person? You see, we need to cast out the net of love. We need to stop letting people think that we're a people that is intolerant. And I know a lot of pastors. I know probably 1,000 preachers today. And I can tell you at times I'm a little arrogant. But I want God to humble me in such a way that I will not be arrogant. And maybe as a Southern Baptist, you can be a little arrogant. We need to ask God, God, improve our humility for your glory and for your honor. God, help us, Lord, to reach people that are not like us. And many of you are younger than I am. Some of you may be a day or two older than I am. But we all have a responsibility to glorify God. There's something you can do that I can't do. There's something I can do that you can't do. I'm in Evansville, Indiana. You can't go there. You can, I mean, but you can't be there every day. But I can. And your prayer helps me to get through that, and Mary to get through that. And our pray for our team, that God will bless us. I want to let down the net of obeying God's word and listening to his voice. Obeying God's word brings results. As you see verse 6, you notice what he says. He says in verse 6, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. You see, when we do what God calls us to do, we can accomplish what God's called us to accomplish. I said earlier in the prayer that God didn't want just our ability. He wants our availability. He wants us to be available for his glory and for his honor. Peter was resistant, like we said. Peter experienced the miracle of Christ. We too can experience the miracle of Christ. I believe one of the greatest things that we're going to see is God's going to bless the church at Community Central. We have a high school right across the street from us called Central High School. We have 4 other elementary schools around us. We have neighborhoods, their houses are just about 5 or 6 feet apart. We have an economically depressed area sometimes in a lot of areas, just like you do. I'm not saying our area is any different than your area. You got the same kinds of people that we've got. You got lost people. You got people that are just not interested in church. I would encourage you to just follow God's voice, obey his voice. Our strategy is to connect to building relationships. Connect in with compassion for the lost. Connect with discipleship to be saved. Connect with authentic worship. We just brought a worship team on board. And we couldn't hardly get anybody that wanted to come on board in a plant, in a replant, that we didn't have to pay. But we got somebody to come on board, 2, 3 people to come on board, that we have to pay them a really big salary. $100 a week. That sometimes won't even pay for the gas that they use to drive back and forth, but they're doing it for the glory of God. And God's going to bless us, and God's going to give us an increase when we push out, when we throw out our nets. We want to connect with authentic worship. Not saying any Southern Baptist church is not doing authentic worship, but let me tell you, a lot of Southern Baptist churches is closing their doors because they've forgotten how to worship God. I love coming to Bethel. I do. Mary was just pointing out to me this morning. She said, look at this. They still sing these songs. They still put them in the bulletin. They still have a bulletin. We're going to do our worship service in the gymnasium because we just really honestly need to flip our sanctuary around. Our sanctuary is a beautiful sanctuary. But the bathrooms are put right up front where the pastor's at. And so when a mom on the back row, where Baptists normally sit, no offense to anybody sitting on the back row, but where Baptists normally sit, there's a mom back there with a crying kid. What does she have to do to get the baby up to the bathroom? She has to walk right by everybody, and guess who they're watching? That screaming baby goes, ah! Everybody's going, oh, what's going on? Right? So we got to flip the sanctuary. The church sits on a slab. I thought about putting bathrooms back in the back, but you know how hard it is to drill through concrete to put water hoses in? If you got a different idea, I'd love to hear it. But we need to do something for that. All this stuff's expensive. All this stuff takes money. All this stuff. God has blessed us with a beautiful building. God has blessed us with workers who are cleaning that building out. And you know what happened to Southern Baptist Church? They let everything go thinking they could get it next week. Next week became a month. Month became a year. A year became 5 years. And what's happened to the church? It's ran down. We've closed off one, two, three floors of the church educational space. Pray for us to open it back up where we can use it for God's glory. Thirdly, I want you to know we need to lean on the resources of our partners. What are the resources that you may bring to the table? We've already told you you're funding the plant through the association. That's the cooperativeness of churches coming together to support our work. Secondly, you could pray for us. I already told you about that. That's number one. Who are our partners in the boat? Associations, the State Convention of Baptists. Your State Convention of Baptists is giving to this plant. Also, the associations are giving. We have three associations in this area that are giving. One association up there that is giving. And anytime your pastor wants to see a budget for the church plant, you're free to see it. Anytime the pastor wants to know anything about the church, anytime you want to ask the pastor anything about the church, he's free to ask me any question he wants to ask. Now, it's obvious I can't talk to everybody at once, all of our partners, but I can talk to that one person. What else can you do? You can put boots on the ground. Maybe you'd like to come. Maybe the youth would like to come to a vacation Bible school where you just take care of the Bible school with us. Or a conference of some kind, or simultaneous revival with the other churches in the association. There's so many things to do. You can follow us. Be in the boat with us through prayer, through funding, through boots on the ground, through that cooperative effort. Yes, we're a local autonomous body, but you see, we don't tout that when it comes to, except when it comes to the fact that we allowed Christ to rule the church the way Christ wants to rule the church by His Word. But we're an autonomous body, yes, but we work together for the glory of God to reach the world for Jesus, Acts 1:8. We must learn humility and sincerity, verses 8 and 9. Notice what it says in 8 and 9. It says, Peter, when he saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, knees, saying, Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. And that really is an emphasis need to be placed on that better, but I can't get up that loud anymore much. For he and all who were with him were astonished. You see, when God does something in our midst, we're always astonished. We didn't believe He'd do it. Or at least that's the way I am. You may not be that way, but I am. Now, finally today, as we look at it, we must be looking to God, forsaking all and following Him. Verses 10 through 11. Faith is forsaking all and you trust Him. Trust Him with the gospel message. 1 Corinthians 5, 15, 1 through 4. What is the gospel message? It's the same story of how Christ died on the cross of Calvary. He died for me. He died for you. He took our sin. He became sin for us, He who knew no sin. And He became our sacrificial lamb. I don't know what I can do at a Community Central Church. I have no idea what God's going to do with us. But I'm willing to try. I'm willing to say, God, if you can use me, use me. Use me for your glory, for your honor. Just like the folk at Bethel Baptist Church. I know you people. I know your heart. I know your heartbeat. When you set a $5,000 missions offering, that's a heartbeat for missions. Looking to God, forsake all and follow Him. And what happened? Notice what happens in the verse. Verse 10 says this. And so also were James and John and the sons of Zebedee who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Now, here's the point. Nowhere in that verse does God say, you're going to clean them. How do we catch men? Think about that for a moment. We are fishers of men for the glory of God. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. When Mary and I and our three children left Ohio in 1975, I didn't know how God was going to use us. But 44 years later, God's still using us in small ways. God wants to use us in big ways. God wants to use us. But we must work for him. And we must try out new methods. What we did in the 50s, a million more in 54 don't work. Bussing kids in anymore doesn't work like it used to. So what do? Do not change the message, but we must change our methodologies to reach people with the glory that we share with them. What's the glory? Jesus living in us. That's the glory. Trust him for the end results. I saved one verse that I want you to hear again and again and again. Look at verse 6 one more time with verse 7, I'm sorry. So they did what? Signaled to their partners. Hey guys, we're sinking. Will you help? Nah. Go ahead and drown. I don't want to drown with you. Right? No, their partners came. And they helped them. Now, did you catch it? I'm not doing jumping jacks. Couldn't get my feet off the ground. But we're signaling to our partners. And can you imagine how Peter must have felt when his partners rode up beside him in the boat? Thank you. Thank you for helping us to reach that part of Evansville for the glory of God. Thank you for praying. Thank you for supporting us in a cooperative effort through your association, South Central. Thank you for putting boots on the ground. You say, well, we haven't done that. But I know your pastor well enough to think that that might be something you do in the future. I just want to thank you. And I want to say thank you again and again. I know my time passed 11:30. I did feel a little shocked back there, Heather. But let me say to you, Pastor, people, thank you for being in the boat with us. Thank you for bringing your boat up beside us. Thank you for encouraging us to launch out into the deep, to cast out our nets, to rely upon your resources in prayer and the support of cooperation and boots on the ground. Thank you for praying for us and being in the boat with us. I love you guys today. Father, in this moment, God, I am overwhelmed. I'm humbled. And God, there's so many things I wanted to say, but God, my own thoughts kept getting in my way. God, may I say to you today again and again and again that I love you. Father, I'm not worthy to do what you've called me to do except in for the blood of Jesus Christ. But God, I'm willing to do what you ask me to do. You may have to give me a little shove at times. But Father, I'm willing to try anything you want me to try that'll bring glory and honor unto you. Thank you for Bethel Baptist Church. Thank you, Father, for Pastor Ricky, Miss Amy, for their family. Thank you for Matt and Heather. Thank you, God, for the privilege of being here. And Father, now I ask you, Lord, to move in this church. God, just have your will in your way as you see by the power of the Holy Spirit, lost people come, saved people get revived, and hearts be changed. I love you, Father. Thank you for our partners in the boat. In Jesus' name.